Hi, you're listening to House of Eight on Cut to the Chase.
Stepping out beyond boundaries takes courage and the ability to dream. We are excited to share our new audio podcast called Cut to the Chase. The structure of this podcast embodies open dialogue with friends, family, and professional colleagues, talking about things that impact our ability to thrive. We hope that you will join our unscripted, unbridled podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 88, entitled Life is Tough, But So Are You. So today we have a featured guest, someone that basically comes to us by way of Mexico City, that comes to us by way of the West Coast, that comes to us by way of Washington, someone that basically is an IG friend, someone that is very resonant in what she does and her passion and in her family and just everything that she does in life that makes it tough for her, but she has been able to find ways to get beyond that toughness and move forward in her life. And so one of the things I'd like to open up with today is basically a quote. And that quote starts out like this, and it says, "Pause and remember, every single event in your life, especially the difficult lessons you have made, has made you smarter, stronger, and wiser than you were yesterday." So today, our special guest was born in the heart of Mexico, Mexico City to be exact. Her mother, along with her siblings, migrated when she was two to the U.S. She became, at the young age of 19, struggling with mental health, which caught up with her, was the first poison that she dealt with in the aspect of mental health stigma. And until she began to realize how she could help others, she began by first helping herself. She's been married with her husband for over 10 years. They have six beautiful kids. They enjoy buying, selling, and renting real estate for the past 10 years, locally and out of the state that they reside in. She's better known as the House of Eight, but of course, if that doesn't sound busy enough, she also does bodybuilding as a hobby and has grown to love the sport and is very and actually has become very passionate about it. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce Ms. Marisol Watkins. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great over here at Cut to the Chase. So let's kind of jump into this. Any opening remarks that you might have for our listeners?
No, I just hope that anybody who is does get the chance to listen, that they can somehow relate to it in one way or another, or just feel that they maybe been through some of the struggles that I have, and that they may feel that they're not alone in some way or another.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. So, you know, at the age of 19, you began to struggle with mental health issues. If you don't mind sharing with our audience, I mean, what was going on at that time in your life that found you struggling?
Well, I was, like I said, 19. So I had just recently moved out of my mother's home, which my teen life wasn't the best. And I made some, I guess, not smart choices soon after moving out, and found myself pregnant at a young age. Obviously, I wasn't married, but I had a good relationship with the father of my child. Till this day, we have a pretty decent civil relationship with him. But I just struggled because I didn't have my family support. I had two good friends, Lucy and Gracia, who were till this day are my best friends. And they were very helpful when they were able to, but of course they were in college, so they could only help for so much. So a lot of the time I found myself just struggling mentally. And of course, being a new mom, you know, you don't know very much. And you're learning yourself, still a kid, learning the ways of life. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine, it was really hard. And I found myself crying a lot more than I wish I was at the time.
Sure. So at what point, as you've stated, you know, you were a new mom and struggling and trying to get your life in order. At what point did you finally realize to seek the help or to seek the additional guidance and counseling that will kind of help you kind of get things back on track? What were your journey? What was the thing that led you up to that journey?
Well, to be honest, it was just about 2 years ago. I struggled mentally since, you know, that I can remember on young age. But I didn't start piecing the pieces together that I actually have like mental, like health issues that I needed to take care of probably about, like I said, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. There was an incident in my family. And for personal reasons, just for that person, mm-hmm. privacy mm-hmm. of that person in my family, I won't go into much details of it, but, they had a, I would say mental breakdown, and I struggled to try and help that person and understand that person a lot. And I came to realize that how can I help this person if I have already known that I have my own mental health problems, issues that I needed to resolve, but I was so caught up with the stigma behind it that I didn't want people thinking, oh, I'm crazy because I might need to get on medication, or I don't need that, or, you know, I can do this on my own, or this will pass. It's just maybe postpartum depression. And so I realized that how can I help this person if I'm not willing to help myself first? In order for me to help others, I need to be able to care for myself so that I can care better for others.
Absolutely. So, you know, in the context of what you stated there with regards to having a family member that was going through a crisis that was so relatable to your own crisis, but maybe in a different, you know, segment. You know, we see out in society today that, you know, mental health issues, anxiety, narcissistic behavior, all of these things are just becoming mainstream media news. And so, you know, it puts forth the persona that kind of shines the light on the fact that, yeah, life is tough, you know, and a lot of things that may have happened in our past that we're still carrying forward as baggage has made it even harder for us as adults to kind of remove that baggage and then begin to live our lives in a wholesome a way to be able to heal. And so for you, when you begin to heal and you begin to kind of put some of those things, you know, back in the closet or maybe throw them away, what were some of the steps that you went through to kind of charter that course for healing and self-preservation and fulfillment for yourself?
Well, to be honest, I would have to say that my husband has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. My husband has always kind of seen the backlash, like of the moments where I just kind of would, you know, just be happy 1 minute and then be either sad or just kind of be like frustrated and like almost snappy. And he would see that. But he would see like the person that I truly am. But I was a lot of the time overpowered by a lot of these, what most people would say, symptoms of mental health mm-hmm. issues. And he would always say, you know, get some counseling. I still love you. It doesn't change the way I see you. You know, it's okay to get the help. And he, for the longest time, would encourage me to, you know, go to the doctor or get on a medication, you know, because he realized from my backstory of all the stuff that I went through as a youth, he, in his mind, knew that I was, you know, probably a chemical imbalance from all the trauma that I endured as a child. So he would always encourage me. But again, I would always fall back to the stigma of mental health issues and that I wasn't crazy, that I could get this done on my own. And he would just kind of push me to it. And I would I would honestly just fight him on it. And he was the last one too. He said, I'll take you to the doctor. I'll go with you. It's okay. I'll be there with you. And he did. He was the one who helped me set up my appointment to see with my primary care doctor, which she was really great with me. And he had a great relationship with her as well. So we were able to sit down with my doctor and even him and kind of had that initial first doctor visit that helped me get onto the proper path to a healing of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that speaks, high praises for your husband to be compassionate and to show the empathy to kind of move that process along in a very diplomatic manner, because I'm sure that, it's not easy going through something like that when you have resistance of how you perceive the world sees you, as well as, how others, particularly ones that are close to you, perceive you. I went through something similar with an older daughter of mine, and it was really, really tough in trying to cope with, the things that she was dealing with, myself living in a different state, and then dealing with an ex at the time, and just trying to balance all of these things out through a lot of communication, doctor visits, calls, and various things. But, knock on wood, we're blessed now that she's moved on. She's going to be an aspiring young lady. And, we've kind of put all of those things behind us, and we've been able to kind of cope and move forward. But for her, she felt as if the world, was against her, in all aspects, because, any decision that she would make, would not go her way. Any things that, would happen there with her mom would always be held against her. And so it's just this uphill battle of just, kind of a continuous narcissistic behavior that, not only trying to remove that, but also trying to get to the root cause of, the anxiety or the ADD or whatever the case may have been, just trying to peel back all of those onion layers to get to the real core, took a lot of work. It really took a lot of work, and, it was hard. And certainly it took a year off of my life having to go through through all of that and certainly try to hang in there and be patient and very much like your husband, show the compassion and empathy for the ones that you truly love. And so now as we advance in your life, you've got some really great things going on, even though, life has started out in kind of a rocky fashion for you. You've been married for 10 years. You have 6 beautiful kids. You guys are in the mode of, as I call it, flipping houses. And tell me a little bit about that, because that's not an easy task either.
No, it's not. And you know what? It's been a fun adventure and we really enjoy it. And again, I turn back to my husband. He has been the one that has, I would really just say, the backbone of our relationship. Mm-hmm. It might sound cheesy, but the glue to the relationship, because again, I come back to him being the mentally strong person in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the real estate stuff is from prior from me meeting him. He had already had it in his mind that he wanted to be in real estate. And it took me a while to get on board with that. But I read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I don't know if you've ever read that by Robert Kiyosaki.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a great book. I recommend that to anybody. But anyways, he handed me the book. He said, read this and let me know how you feel. And so we got started. We bought our first real estate investment property back when I was pregnant with our first daughter together, mm-hmm. who's 10 now. And I was really against it. We were living in an apartment ourselves, and I wanted, of course, our first purchase to be our first home. And he said, no, he's like, you'll thank me later. Trust me. This needs to be our first property that we buy. And at the time it was a fourplex. So we got that and flipped that. That was probably our first makeover that we did was on a fourplex. And since then we've been little by little just buying homes here and there, flipping or rental properties. And what really was the turning point for us was when I was pregnant with our 6-year-old son. He lost his job unexpectedly, and it was a little bit hard for us financially for a little bit. But at that time, we also already had acquired some real estate. So we had kind of that fallback of that residual income to hold us over for a while. And then he just kind of, you know, vowed that he was never going to rely on anybody else for a paycheck because he didn't want to know that in order to support his family, somebody else, he was relying on somebody else for that. So we turned to flipping homes full time and buying real estate and selling it when and where we could. So since then, it's 4 years now that we've been doing real estate full time with flipping homes and buying real estate here locally. And last year we had the opportunity to buy some real estate out of over in North Carolina. So kind of ventured out a little bit, and that's been a learning experience this past year. And we just, you know, really enjoy what it provides for our family. We don't, you know, we make our own schedule. We are able to have the time for our children that we have always wanted. You know, a lot of the time it's hard when you have a full-time job, 9-to-5 job on, you know, so we're pretty blessed in that aspect of being able to flip homes, and we've really enjoyed it. And we're actually going to put a halt to it this year, just because we've moved on to a bigger purchase that is going to be a different lifestyle change for our family this upcoming year.
Yeah, I like, again, you know, my hat goes off to your husband, particularly with you already having one child, and then you said you were pregnant again. And, you know, in most cases, when you're getting ready to buy your first property, you're anticipating that's where you're going to live. That's where you're going to raise your kids. And he must have had some really persuasive ways to convince you there to say, no, we're not going to live there. This is going to be our first investment property, because I don't think that would be an argument I would want to have with my wife.
Right. Yes. It wasn't an easy decision. It definitely was a long argument, but he obviously, you know, knew what he was doing, and I put my trust in him, you know, being married. And that's kind of the relationship that we both have, is that we try and put trust in each other, that we're making the right decisions for not ourselves only, but for our family.
Yeah. That's certainly commendable. And, you know, moving on to kind of where you're at now, I mean, you know, you've got a house of 8, and basically, you know, you have acquired, you know, this fitness, extremity and this passion for bodybuilding. And so what kind of sparked that? Was that a part of your growth from mental health and trying to heal? Or was that something that you really aspired to do? What drove you to get to a point of bodybuilding?
Well, I have always been a athletic person. I did cross country, basketball, in middle school and high school. I really liked sports. For me in my youth were like my escape from a lot of the trauma that I experienced at the young age. Like, it was my way to kind of be out of my home and just, you know, have something to keep me busy. And I think that just kind of carried on into my adulthood life, that athletic part of it. And I've always been, you know, at the gym, and I've always in my mind wanted to compete. I just, you know, being pregnant for 10 years of my life didn't fit that in very well in that. So sure. I waited till I was, you know, no longer pregnant and knew that I wasn't going to have any more kids so that I could commit to it 100% and give it 100% of what I want to give something like that. Because it does take a lot of commitment. And not only that, but mentally, And now that I've experienced a competition and gone through a prep, I don't think that mentally I would have been able to handle a lot of that would I have not been in the mental health state that I am now, as opposed mm-hmm. to prior to taking the steps to healing, because it does take a lot of mental strength to get through a lot mm-hmm. of that. I would say more of it is mental than physical to commit to a prep from beginning to end for me personally. So I realized that, you know, I'm not having any more kids. I'd like to actually make some time for myself. And this has allowed me to kind of almost fill that space where I felt like I needed something for myself, aside from being a mom and aside from being a wife. I wanted something for just myself that I could feel like, okay, this is mine and I can do this myself. And it's just my little thing almost. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We all have to have our outlet of sanctum or sanity that provides us with a means of fulfillment. It's interesting that you were, you know, very athletic early on and you participated in cross country. Way back when, I participated a lot in cross country and road races and those different types of things. And I found that to kind of be my sanctum at the time that I was in high school and college and well into the Navy and really, really enjoyed it, over the period of time that I participated and competed. So as it stands right now with you, bodybuilding and competing, I mean, is that something that you're still aspiring to do as you guys continue to go through all of the real estate shuffles that you guys have going on? Or is that something that you have on hold at this point in time?
No, I actually sat with my husband, you know, the beginning of the year. We both like to sit down and talk about our goals for the year, like what our goals are as a couple, what our goals are for our family, and what our goals are individually. And one of the goals for me personally was I told him that I'd like to continue and, you know, work towards a pro card. Is it going to be challenging? Yes, because this next year we actually bought a camping resort about 2 hours away from where we live, which is over below Mount Rainier. So mm-hmm. that in its own is going to be a challenge just because the gym that I train at is here and my coach is here. But that, again, will be an obstacle that will just go as it comes and work out the kinks as they come. But my goal and my plan is to continue to compete so that I could get a pro card in the next couple years.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, Marisol, this has been very enlightening, you know, to get to understand you and you and your family and understand how you dealt with some of life's toughest challenges, as well as how you've integrated, you know, this into your family so that you guys work cohesively together as a unit. And so as we begin to wrap up our discussion here, what are some takeaways that you'd like to leave with our listeners as far as, you know, value added points that maybe help you along the way?
Well, just to really tune into your mental health. We're in a year where it's been difficult and we are home a lot of the time. And for me personally, it allowed me to realize where I want to be as a mom and as a person and what I want to leave behind to my children to remember. And to just, you know, if it's help that you need, take the time to look for the help that you need, whether it's mental health, physical health, or whatever it may be in your case, that you can take the steps to take for a better mental health, because it's just as important as our physical health. And for me, it's been the best choice that I have been able to make, not only for myself, most importantly, but for my children, because I want them, like they said, you know, and the cycle of the trauma that I have been passed down from generation to generation. And I want to mm-hmm. be the one to end that cycle and have a better mental health for my kids, that they'll be able to process things in their life in a healthier way. And it starts with us. It really does. And if I can be of any kind of inspiration to anybody, I would hope that it would be in regards to mental health, because for so many years I struggled, and I owe it a lot to my husband for always being my supportive spouse and eternal companion, that he's been always there for me to help, you know, kind of dig me out of the dark moments that we have had, and always has been the light to help us, you know, move on and move forward.
Wow. Wow. That's quite inspiring. And we certainly appreciate you sharing those closing remarks. And so to our listeners, one final quote that I have here, and it basically goes like this. It says, "Nothing is permanent. Don't stress yourself too much, because no matter how bad the situation is, it will change." So, Marisol, thank you very much for sharing your story. You know, we hope you had a wonderful time getting back to the mainland. And we hope that, you know, things continue to prosper and flourish for you and your beautiful family, and you and your husband continue to be as successful as you guys are as a loving couple. And this has been episode 88, entitled "Life is Tough, But So Are You." Thank you very much, everybody. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut to the Chase. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Cut to the Chase. You'll also find even more great content on our website at www.k2tcpodcast.com. Thank you, and catch you on the next episode.